It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. I am excited. My guest today is Charlie Ryan. Charlie Ryan's been on the show a couple of times. Charlie Ryan is known as the recruitment queen and was established by Charlie Ryan as a result of her 20-plus years experience working within the recruitment industry. Charlie's passion is to help you, people like you, having seen it all firsthand in the recruitment industry, she set up the Recruitment Queen to provide support candidates with the skills and knowledge to job hunt successfully. Now more than ever, I think this is kind of a critical thing. Charlie Ryan, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. And you know what? It's kind of a job seeker's paradise out there for in most markets. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like job seekers almost have their pick of the pick of the best, right? It seems like companies are now having to kind of bend over backwards to get the talent, or am I wrong?
No, you are right. I think you're definitely right when you say that about job seekers. I think the challenge is though that companies are battling over the same people. So The problem you've got is there are still a lot of job seekers who won't necessarily get the right opportunities. But for someone who's very good, very skilled, has come through the ranks and has the right attitude, that person will have three or four job offers on the table. So then, yes, the companies are all vying which offer are they going to take? Will they take mine? But you've still got a massive percentage of the market who are struggling to get past that first hurdle to become one of those job seekers, to become someone that's wanted by the employer.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think is the biggest challenge for candidates in today's job market?
That is a very easy question to answer. The internet.
Explain that.
The internet and all job applications, which are going via the internet, via various job boards and portals for candidates applying for jobs, it takes a long time before they get to the human. And therefore, it's very difficult for somebody to really get themselves past those early stages without being perfect on paper or being perfect when they complete an application form online. And most of us, we do very well when we get in front of the human. That's when we engage well. That's when someone brings the best out of us. But actually, it's a lot of time and effort that's going into other parts of the process online that we're not even getting to that stage. And many of us are being rejected after 4, 5, 20, 25, 30, 60 seconds, and we don't even know why. That, I think, is the biggest challenge for job hunters today.
Yeah. So, and I agree with you. First of all, there is, I love the fact that you put the internet as being this big hindrance, because in one sense, it's made our life a lot easier. We can fill out stuff online, but that same online application is hurting most of us. So what is your thoughts? How can these candidates seen? I mean, as far as, So how do these candidates avoid being being rejected for being, underqualified or overqualified or just, not even getting a chance to be looked at? Give me your thoughts.
So candidates that position themselves outside this process by making a phone call or engaging, using the internet as their friend rather than the internet being their blockage. So it's very important that their social media and their engagement online via other portals direct with the company, that they're starting to position themselves outside the norm and outside the application process. They also do that by making a phone call. I can give you a really good example of that. I mean, we had hundreds of applications for one role in a tiny, tiny town. And out of all of those applications, only one person phoned us. Now, interestingly,
wow.
You know, that person we'd already deleted. She wasn't any good on paper. But eventually, she was the one that got the job because she repositioned herself in the market and didn't allow that blockage or didn't allow us to reject her. I mean, we had rejected her, but she hadn't known that.
Right.
But it meant she showed us how great she was on the phone, her engagement, her communication. Those interpersonal skills now are just exactly what employers are looking for. And people are being ruled out before they're even getting the opportunity to demonstrate them. So they have to position themselves outside those portals. They need to use those portals, but they have to do other things as well.
Okay, so let's talk about some of those other things. When you say other things, like what? Stopping by unannounced, dropping a letter in the post?
Absolutely.
So what are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, stopping by unannounced can be more difficult today because of the security around companies. So it's very hard, I think, now to do what the old school would have called doorstepping, where you'd maybe go onto a business park and you could get to reception and get to see HR in that moment. That doesn't really happen now because it's a lot of push buzzers and just getting past that point. But you certainly can make a phone call. You certainly can leave a voicemail with your name so people are starting to understand you're engaging with them in other ways. You certainly can go onto the company's website and start commenting via their various feeds in terms of your opinion. And you can also use LinkedIn to start connecting with the recruiters that are undertaking the recruitment for the opportunity that you want. So that's already four things outside just pressing that apply button.
I like that. I like this idea of using the LinkedIn as a way of positioning yourself, getting in contact with the human, maybe even getting somebody that has a connection to that HR person to say, hey, take a look at Charlie. She's really good for this position. I've known Charlie. I mean, that's a great way of getting an introduction and even credibility before you walk in the door.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, people feel bad. Once someone's been referred to them, they actually feel bad if they don't engage. Even if you're not right for the job, they're likely to come back to you. And it can give you that one step up of engagement. So even if that opportunity is not right, you might be able to find others. And then you start to connect with their connections and starting to see the engagement online and you're partaking in that. They're the candidates now, the candidates that are positioning themselves outside the normal recruitment process are the candidates that are being identified as those that the employer wants.
Yes. I like that. All right. So what advice would you give to job hunters looking right now?
Probably the best piece of advice I would give a job hunter is understand who they are and what they stand for. And if they can position themselves as taking their brand to market, understand how they would market any brand or any product, and that's what they need to engage with, using all of the tools of taking your brand to market. Sometimes that's being on the phone, sometimes that's putting a snippet of information out on their Facebook or their LinkedIn, sometimes that's sending an application direct to a company, sometimes that's engaging with an agency to help them on their job search, sometimes that's going to their referrals or their networks to go, who do you know that can help me? If you think when you take a product to market, you use all of the channels available to you, and candidates need to understand they are the product, taking yourself to market, what are all the channels available to you, and use them all.
Yeah, I think that's a great strategy. Think of yourself as a product you're going to take to market. And in some cases, there are people out there who just simply don't know how to market themselves. They don't know how to market a product. So they're going to need somebody to help them, teach them maybe how to get their resume to look different, stand out, maybe how to use LinkedIn to get in the back door, what letters they should write or send. Because for some people, marketing doesn't come naturally.
No, I do agree with that, actually. And people do need help. And there are a lot of companies, including our own. I mean, I can't remember the exact date and I can send it to you, but we are running a free webinar on this in a couple of weeks' time. And people will log on all over the world. And it really is about understanding how to take your brand to market. And even I was in a school today educating sixth formers, and it comes down to the font. Some simple things like the font your CV is written in. If your CV isn't written in Arial font, the brain is less likely to want to keep reading it. And you're right, how would people know that? They don't know that. So they need to go out and engage with all of these companies that will give them that advice of taking a brand to market and engaging in all of those marketing channels.
All right. So, you know, in something that you said, I want to talk about this, because something that you said that I thought was kind of interesting is about this person that repositioned herself. And, you know, one of the reasons that they got a second look is because they were willing to make a phone call and put themselves out there. And I think that a lot of people mm-hmm. aren't willing to do that. A lot of people are unfortunately hiding behind the internet, right? And so they'll fill out a thousand different applications versus focusing on maybe the top 10 or top 20. What do you think?
I do, and I think you're absolutely right on that. And I guess the one piece of advice I would say is that do remember, whenever you see a job advert, it is like an ordinary advert. You know, the whole point of any advertising that's ever done is to attract the world. It's literally to attract the world. And then when you see an advert, whether it's on TV or whatever, forget about the fact it's for a job. Really, an advert should prompt you to go away and investigate. Unfortunately, with a job advert, people think, oh, I'll press the apply button because it's easy. And actually, I'm looking for people to step back from that and then start to research, is this job right for me? Understand that the phone is going to be your friend so that you're not spending all of that time getting rejection after rejection. So better to do a few applications correctly and understand why you're suitable for that job before you apply, so that your application is going to be taken further and you understand what they're going to be assessing along the way, as opposed to hitting that apply button because it's easy and getting rejected 99% of the time, because that will be what happens. So the phone, I mean, and we are looking for schools to really encourage people to get on the phone more, because at the moment the phone is being used for texting and tweeting and social media, and it is not being used for the engagement that somebody needs to be able to demonstrate why they're suitable for a job.
Sure, sure. And interestingly enough, you know, the other negative to filling out so many applications, and I'm sure that you've experienced this, I know I have, is when somebody replies to them, I want to the reply comes back something like, hey, I'm not sure, you know, what the job's about. I've applied to a lot of different positions. Can you tell me more about your position? That automatically deletes that person from from my list, because I know that they're applying for a lot, but if they're applying for so many that they're not keeping track, they're either too many or they're disorganized. Either way, I don't want them in my company. And so if you can't keep track of everybody, if you're not willing to research, why did I send this person an email? Who is this company? And you're asking the possible new employer to explain themselves to you, you're gonna lose.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I don't think it's beyond the realm of, you know, normal expectation that when an employer comes back to you, a potential employer or agency, I think just basic respect, they want you to know who they are. Now, I do think there are ways out of that situation. I mean, we call hundreds of people every week. And, you know, if people are doing a lot of applications, I do think there's a way of answering the phone and even saying, I'm ever so sorry, I've applied to so many. What opportunity, you know, are you talking about again, and which company are you calling from? And I think even that you would get away with. But yeah, absolutely, you need to have a spreadsheet. You need to know who's your agent for which job, which company, who's the contact, what the job role is. And that's why you can't apply for too many at once, because if you do, you won't know what's going on and you will not be able to demonstrate that caliber or quality of process for the recruiter or the company.
Yeah, that's such a great, what do you call it? Such a great advice there. Absolutely. A spreadsheet. And the great thing about it, you were talking about technology earlier on, you know, you can connect your phone to Google Drive and you can put your spreadsheet online so you're never too far away from it. If you don't recognize a phone number, let it go to voicemail. If they are looking to hire you, they will leave you a message. Hi, this is, you know, so-and-so with XYZ company. I'd like to talk to you about an interview. And then you can do the research. Or if you get that email please do the research. Do not ask the employer to tell you who they are. I just think it puts you in such a bad negative light. All right, let's talk about this. Handshake, important, not important?
That's funny. I was doing that in a school today. The handshake, so important. So important. I cannot tell you how excited my consultants get about an application. So we see this perfect candidate on this bit of paper, you know, this wonderful CV. They've got all the competencies for the job. We've talked to them on the phone. They come across amazingly well. Brilliant. It's all going so well. In fact, really and truly meeting them should be more of a tick box exercise now. And then they come in and they look good. They're dressed well. And then the handshake. Oh, my goodness. The disappointment. I mean, I'm surprised the sigh doesn't come out of my mouth when it happens, because I am so disappointed with the weak handshake. It used to be women that are worse, but I'm not finding that now. I'm now just finding it's hit and miss. Men and women, there are just a lot of weak handshakes going on. And I actually don't think people are being taught how to do a proper handshake. I really don't.
Well, and I agree with you. And so let's start with this. Okay, here we are. We're talking about the handshake. Back in the day, it was kind of the woman's option whether she wanted to shake hands or not. In other words, the way I was brought up, if you were interacting with a female counterpart, a business executive, a client, whatever. If that female extended her hand to shake it with you, then of course you would shake her hand. If she didn't, then you wouldn't do it. You just kind of wait, because it was kind of, I don't know, at least again, this is back, you know, 30 years ago. That was just the way it was being taught. Now for men, generally you always shook hands. It had to be a firm handshake. You had that eye contact. Let's fast forward today. Is there any cultural difference between men and women? Bottom line, if you're in the UK or America or Canada, there isn't any cultural differences. Everybody is expected to shake hands in a business setting?
Yes. Yes, okay. Absolutely. And if it's not done properly, I think it very quickly puts you at a disadvantage. In fact, if we start the interview and the handshake is weak, We are so disappointed. You have to do amazingly well now in that face-to-face meeting to overcome that disappointment. Because the other thing is, the chances are you're going to be representing that company or our company out talking to clients. So they're going to be making a very similar judgment as I am when that individual shakes their hand. So, and I'm not saying they wouldn't get past that. I would get past that. But I tell you, if we took them on, we would teach them how to handshake. And I don't care how old they are, we would teach them.
Absolutely. Now, let me tell you something that I do when I have what I call a misfire with a handshake, because it happens very rarely, but it does happen.
And it does happen, yeah.
And I never – yeah, and so what I started doing when I go to, you know, shake hands, let's say I go to shake hands with you, and for whatever reason it wasn't good. You know it wasn't good. I know it wasn't good. There's that awkward weirdness. Hey, that was a bad handshake. What I started doing, and I'll say, Charlie, let's do that again, because that was a really weird handshake. I don't say it was good. I don't say it was bad. I just say that was kind of a weird handshake. Let's start over again. And now we have a good handshake, and we could both kind of laugh a little bit, and then we can sit down and kind of get that past us. It's no longer in the back of my mind or in the back of their mind that was a weird handshake. What do you think about that strategy? Good strategy? Is something better? What is your take?
I think you need to call it in the moment, really, because I think, I think you can get away with it. I don't think everybody would get away with it. And I also think they might not be thinking that, because you might think it's a weird handshake or a bad handshake. And I know, you know, you've used the word, or you might say, oh, we missed that, didn't we? We didn't do that properly, or however you might like to do it. But they might not think that. So now they might be thinking, what are you expecting on the next handshake? Could have been a good handshake for them. Do you know what I mean? It could have been, right? It could have been.
Yeah.
You know what a good handshake is. I do. But what if that was their best?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah, you're right. Now they feel weird, because, man, I thought that was a great handshake. You're telling me it was weird?
Yes.
It was weird for me, I guess. You know, I just one of those things. You know, and it was so interesting about this whole handshake deal that a lot of people miss, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Here we are, we're in a business environment. We're all about doing the business. We want to be professional. But yet this handshake is very kinesthetic. It's very much about the feelings. And so even though we're about business, we're about being professional, that handshake, if it doesn't feel right, it can set it up for failure. It can make the room a little bit more tense. And I just think that's so weird that people sometimes overlook that, yes, it's about business, but it's interesting to me that a good meeting can hinge on how we feel about that handshake.
Yeah, it can do. I think, and I wouldn't want to, you know, I was saying to the school today, you know, you can come back from it. You really
sure.
can. But I just think it's just that connecting moment. And I think it says so much as well. It nearly gives a balance of power. It gives an area of confidence. You know, how confident is this person in who they are? It's a bit like what I was talking about earlier. You know, your handshake is an extension of your brand. What does your brand
right.
stand for? What do you stand for? And if it's not really exuding the confidence that you're about, you're starting to create that self-doubt in the other person who's interviewing you as to, well, how much value do you put behind your brand, or are you really worth what you're saying? And it is difficult. But like I say, I wish it was taught better. You know, I wish it was taught better. But, you know, and we are trying to make inroads into schools in the UK and do that. And it's such a simple thing as well, I think, that can be taught. It's just, it's a shame it's not picked up on.
Well, and I tell you what's interesting is I know a lot of, I call them kids, but I'm talking 18, 19, 21, 25-year-olds who, like you said, have never, ever been taught the handshake. And you could see it. You could tell. I've met a lot of young people, both male and female, that they are simply unaware of how to do a handshake. And matter of fact, I have twin daughters, and much to my dismay, they are dating, and they're dating. You know, and so they're 16.
And you shook their partner's hand.
Well, and here, let me tell you. So this is what impressed me so much. So the young man, it just so happens that both of these young men that my daughters are dating, first of all, they're brothers. Second of all, they were raised primarily by their mother. Okay. But they walked up to me and said, "Hey, Mr. Martinez, I'm so and so," and they put their hand out, and Charlie, it was the perfect handshake. It wasn't this weak handshake. I mean, these guys came up and I was so impressed with their handshake that, I didn't give them the
you
evil
said
you eye.
Can marry my daughter.
I didn't go that far, but you know, but it impressed me so much. And it's interestingly enough, it impressed me so much that I thought, man, these boys, somebody at home is doing a great job. And it impressed me so much that I called the mother up just to let her know how impressed that was. And so far they've turned out to be very, very good young boys. as good as young teenage boys can be. They seem to be very upstanding. But, you know, handshake was so important as far as impressing the dad. I'm putting that out there because when somebody's got to meet a mom or a dad, a handshake can make the difference. It certainly did in this case. But it's like you said, it's just not being taught. It's not being taught at home, and it's something that everybody sooner or later will absolutely guarantee you will do. You will have to shake somebody's hand.
Yeah, and I think it's more than that, actually. I think, you know, there are a couple of things you talked about there in terms of, you know, the upbringing of those individuals, and they were taught it well. And I think what is generally not being taught is what we call business etiquette. And the handshake does fall into business etiquette. But there are lots of rules in the business world that people sort of assume you know, but actually, unless you're taught them, you don't know. And especially now, you know, even in, and it's even some basic manners, but again, because maybe people aren't eating together or talking all the time, or there are just things that are now missing in the business world. You know, can you just eat at your desk? Is chewing gum okay? You know, when you're in the business world and you're sat at a desk in the office and you're on the phone? No, it's not. But actually, no one's teaching our young people that. I've had people turn up to interviews chewing gum. And I've just sent them away. I've just said, I cannot interview you while you're chewing gum because I don't want to see the contents of your mouth when you're talking to me. And I have too much respect for myself to engage with you.
Right, you know, right. You know,
we are very harsh. We do have a very high standard.
Yes. Don't chew gum. Show up on time. You know, one of my big standards is wear a tie. If you're coming to my interview, you better be wearing a tie. You better be dressed for success. I will send you home.
Yes.
And if you come to my job interview, it's just ridiculous how many males have walked in my office ill-prepared, no tie, you know. And what's interesting is,
and it doesn't matter.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. It doesn't matter, even if, because I get a lot of people who will say to me, "Oh, well, it's IT, Charlie. It's IT, Charlie, or it's media." They won't expect that. And do you know what? In the everyday job, they probably won't. But to succeed, the interview is the pinnacle. The interview is where we're all on our best behavior. Now, if this is the best you that you could be, bearing in mind you're trying to impress and get the job, you know, you have to be, you cannot be overdressed for an interview. Doesn't matter what the industry is. The second interview, fine, they might advise you to be more casual, but everybody wants to see the effort at the first interview, no matter what the industry.
Sure, absolutely. And I think especially, to me, I would say especially if you're in an area where people don't wear a nice suit and tie, you're going to stand out by wearing a nice suit and tie. Because, again, I mean, a perfect example
absolutely.
Is IT, where everybody's walking around in Dockers and in a T-shirt or maybe a polo type shirt. And then you show up in your dress and you're wearing a tie, you're going to be the IT guy with the tie on. That guy's going to stand out. There's only going to be maybe one or two of those people. And so I totally agree with you. It's an absolute must for that first time, that first interview, to be dressed to impress, because you can always dress down. You can always, you know, loosen the tie or take the coat off and dress down, but you can't ever dress up in that moment. You're done.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what we say, really. You cannot, I mean, I know it's a terrible thing to say, but, you know, the first interview is like the first date. You're all on your best behavior. Nobody's showing any flaws at this point. It is pretty much downhill after that, because you'll all then release information about yourself that maybe the other person won't like eventually. But hopefully at that time you're employed and it's too late. It's a bit like you're in the relationship and you love the person enough to compromise. And, you know, so the interview is the first day. Everything has to be perfect.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And Charlie, if people want to find out more about the Recruitment Queen, if they want to get help with their job hunting or even their handshake, where can they go to find out more about you?
So www.therecruitmentqueen.co.uk. Loads of information on there. Yes.
Yep, therecruitmentqueen.co.uk, where you guys can go to find out more about Charlie and her team. And just simple things, guys. I mean, nothing that we've talked about here with Charlie is anything beyond people's grasp. To pick up the phone, to do a follow-up email, to know who you're talking to and why you're talking to that recruiter or that HR person, you know, and I think that maybe the hardest things that you and I've talked about today, Charlie, is how to be self-promotion without being annoying. That's a tough one. And maybe how to make your resume stick out. And if you need help on self-promotion, if you need help with your resume, you can check out the recruitmentqueen.co.uk. Recruitmentqueen.co.uk. Charlie Ryan, as always, it's good to have you here.
Thank you, Bert. Pleasure.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to talking to you next time.
Thank you very much. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good stuff there from Charlie Ryan, the recruitment queen. Simple thing like a handshake can impress or depress the situation. Think about it. So where are your handshaking skills? Hey, I want to invite you to go to youtube.com/Bert J. Martinez. Watch my interviews there with some of the biggest people in the world. These are fun interviews. And just did one with Boss Rutten, who's a former MMA champion turned movie star. It seems like Hollywood is picking up on the strength of the MMA. So you've probably seen Boss Rutten on on several movies, Mall Cop, Mall Cop 2. He was also in Here Comes the Boom and Zookeeper. What else? And then, of course, his latest, he's been picked up by Kevin James' new show, Kevin Can Wait. And so we're looking forward to seeing him there. So check out that on youtube.com/Bert J. Martinez. You can also catch my interview with sales master Tom Hopkins on youtube.com/Bert J. Martinez. Go there or be square. And let me know that you signed up. Let me know that you subscribed to youtube.com/Bert J. Martinez. I'll be glad to send you out some free food from Chili's. It's actually a coupon, but you go to and you spend it at you go to your local what do you call that thing? Chili's. Thank you. You go to your local Chili's and you spend it just like cash. I'll also put you up in my amazing Amazon giveaway where you can win fun prizes and cool getaways. And as always, my friends, thank you so much for supporting me. Thank you for supporting the effort that we do here at Money for Lunch. It's one of the most fun things I do, and I get to do it because of you. So thank you so much. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.